The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
It totally settles in your soul.
Always.
Is my mic up?
You're up. You're fine. Yeah, we can hear you without a mic.
Nothing but love here, folks. Good morning. This is Terry Raposa and my soon-to-be ex-partner, Wayne Carpenter. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you, my friend?
I'm doing all right.
You keeping out of trouble?
Yeah, trying to.
Trying to.
You're going to help me fix that tractor, right?
I can help you that.
Good. Thanks. Yeah. We're getting
well, it's a lawnmower.
It feels like a tractor. It's kind of like, you know, tripping over a curb and feeling like you fell off a mountain.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading.
Yes.
96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live all over the world at KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever. Amen.
We are also here with Christina, our producer. How are you, Christina?
Good morning. Doing great. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. That's a bright smile. That's nice to see bright smiles this morning. Sally gave me a bright smile. Christina gave me a bright smile.
They just want you.
Wind just came in.
They just want you to go away.
Start with nice smiles.
Anyway, we've got we had an event this last Thursday night, and it was quite good. It was for the California Rifle and Pistol Association chapter of Shasta County. They put on a great event. I think it went pretty well, Wynn. I think that they raised some pretty good money to help spread the word of the Second Amendment and some other events that they want to do and things that they want to do. And good job, Gary and Rich and all the guys and gals, and, of course, Linda and Lori and all the gang, Patrick and Chris, great job, you guys, and thanks for putting that on. It was good. Want to remind people that we have another fundraiser coming up on November the 18th at the Vets Hall. I believe doors open at 4 o'clock. This is for Patrick Jones, who's running for supervisor for District 4.
They do open at 4 o'clock. Dinner starts at 6.
And a seat, I believe, is $50, and a table is $400, but with the table you get, what, $200 in tickets, something like that?
That's the value of them. Yep, okay. Yep.
Now, unlike my partner, I'm doing all this from memory.
Yep. I'm just making sure that you're following the rules here and everything's good.
And there's also another fundraiser.
And you can also purchase those tickets for that event at Jones's Fort, too, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, we'll be having the candidates in as far as interviewing them. And I did talk to Dan Sloan. He'll be coming in. We're going to be having some folks that are going to be helping us out on the radio side here, as my good friend Wynn Carpenter, who is going to be running for District 3. And I can just say that there probably isn't, I think most people agree that know Wynn, there's probably not anybody with much more integrity or somebody who has more of a heart than he does. And yeah, I'm buttering him up because he's going to help me with my ride on mower today.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, also, there's another item of news that we need to share with everybody. Excuse me. It's a forum for the U.S. Senate and Shasta County Board of Supervisor candidates, and that will be held November 15th. And I just lost what day of the week that was, but it's November
15th. Wednesday.
Thank you. November 15th. Yeah, that's correct. November 15th, which is a Wednesday at 6 p.m. at McLaughlin Auditorium at Sequoia Middle School, 1805 Sequoia Street here in Reading. And the debate moderators will be Janet Chandler and Aaron Ryan. and this is presented by the Shasta County GOP.
Now, that's going to be a pretty good event. I know that that's a great facility. I mean, it seats, what, about 700-800 people, something like that?
Probably.
It's pretty big. I know that I haven't been there for a while, but I remember the last time, I think we had 700 people in that room.
Yeah.
I hope there's that kind of turnout for everyone, because we certainly need that.
Absolutely.
You know, and we need to be paying more attention to what we're doing in our counties and paying more attention to how we're gonna win this battle against tyranny.
And we take care of it locally, folks. Everybody knows that. Take care of it locally.
No, I'm not really sure what happened with Mark Beard. He was supposed to be calling in today, but he did have an issue with one of his horses he had to put down. Very unfortunate. He would have been with us at the fundraiser on Thursday night, but that difficulty came up. And all the best goes to Mark. The phone's ringing, so that might be him on the line. We certainly want to hear what's going on with the Second Amendment case he has. It will affect everybody across the United States. And in California, it's an absolutely landmark case, Baird versus Bonta, about the constitutional carry being legal, which it should be, in the state of California. And I was right. Mark Baird, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. So
pretty good.
We're pretty excited about hearing what's going on in your court case. It's a landmark case in the fact that we do need to have constitutional carry in the state of California. So can you elaborate on that and give us the new news of what's going on and where you're at with the case? Go ahead.
Yeah, the original intent of the case was to restore constitutional carry in California. That's still my intent. But quite frankly, beneath the surface of that was exercise of one of the enumerated rights, the right to keep and bear arms, the right to self-defense, the pre-governmental natural right of the individual to defend himself and his family and community from crime and tyranny and whatever else comes his way. And that has to be without government permission. So if people want to debate the concealed carry versus open carry, I can do that. But the point of this case is to be able to carry your weapon loaded on your person in order to defend yourself without having to jump through government hoops, without having to beg permission from a government agent with no right of appeal, and without any of that. So that's the point of the case. And that happens to be open carry because Peruta v. San Diego and several cases other than that, beyond that, have declared that concealed carry is not a right. Historical regulation in the United States was always against concealed carry, never open carry. There were no regulations that restricted open carry, much less banned open carry, in 1791, nor until late into the 19th century. And late 19th century law, a couple of those were territories which were considered outliers and didn't really count. And then in the 20th century, states began to ban open carry, but the Bruin Court declared that 20th century law and history is not relevant to the Second Amendment because it's too far outside the founding period. And the Second Amendment means what the founders said it meant, and in the words that they wrote it. And let's face it, they started with a blank piece of parchment or paper or whatever. If they had wanted to have licensing for weapon possession, they could have. If they had wanted to restrict open carry, they certainly could have. If they had wanted to restrict concealed carry, they certainly could have. The paper was blank when they wrote the Second Amendment. They could have put in anything that they wanted to, and it probably would have been ratified at the time, because we had just fought a war against a tyrannical king and a tyrannical government that was murdering American citizens and unjustly imprisoning them and so on. Much the same as the government's doing now, by the way.
Yeah, as far as the people from January 6th, you're 100%
sure.
Right. Go ahead.
But anyway, it is the Second Amendment that guards our basic liberty. It is the Second Amendment that prevents the government from disarming the populace in order to enslave us. And so that's why I brought the case, to preserve the right of the people to keep and bear arms. The right itself declares that it shall not be infringed, nor should it be infringed, by subsequent loads of judges and politicians that just know they know better than the founders did. because remember, the Constitution was not meant to protect us against changing times. It was meant to protect us against human nature, and human nature never changes. That's why I brought the case.
You know, I think that you know, this has so much merit, and I think it's going to affect all the states across the United States that don't have constitutional carry. Where are you now with the case? And you just went to court a couple of weeks ago. Can you kind of fill us in on where you're at right now?
Well, let's talk about tyranny with where we are in the case. I have been in this case for 5 years, 5 years. And we have just now had the first hearing on the merits of the case. And that hearing is not only the first hearing, but it's going to be the last hearing. Because the state, after dredging up expert upon expert upon expert that, by the way, know nothing about firearms and actually knows nothing about the law or history, the state applied for a summary judgment. That means all the facts are in evidence. Nothing is in dispute, and I agree with that. We don't dispute anything with the state. They just don't think they're wrong, banning the Second Amendment, and we do. And so they move for a summary judgment, which means to the judge, you know everything you need to know, rule in our favor. Well, we cross-motioned for summary judgment, and we said the same thing to the judge. There's nothing in dispute. All the facts are there. The evidence is the evidence. All the experts have spewed on paper all their thoughts about the history and tradition of the founders, and it's time for you to rule in our favor in this case. And the judge really has to do it because both sides are asking for it. Well, we're okay with that because Judge Mueller has been such a horrible judge that we just need to get this away from her. She never intended to rule on this case. She intended to do the same as she did in the CFR case, and that's drag it out until we were dead or broke. And that's what she intended with this case. Well, she can't do that anymore. And also, we asked for a preliminary injunction, which Judge Mueller failed to rule on. And then she finally ruled against us, but she did not consider the merits of the case, in other words, our likelihood to succeed on the merits of the case. And she said in the record she didn't do it on purpose. Well, we appealed the preliminary injunction to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And a three-judge panel ruled unanimously in our favor, saying that the judge abused her discretion in failing to consider our likelihood to succeed on the merits. And there was language in that decision in the Ninth Circuit that was so good that it's been quoted in several other cases since then. And so that remand, the Ninth Circuit remanded the preliminary injunction back to Judge Mueller and ordered her to reconsider it using the proper guidance, the Bruin guidance, and to look at our likelihood of success on the merits. And since the conduct we seek is verbatim the text of the Second Amendment, our likelihood of success on the merits is 100%. And that's right from the Supreme Court. That's not me talking. That's the Supreme Court talking. Well, Judge Mueller failed to rule on that remand. And so we wrote another letter to the Ninth Circuit accusing the judge of dragging her feet when the Ninth Circuit ordered her to do this expeditiously because denial of a constitutional right is irreparable harm even when it's a short period of time. And they also commented in the Ninth Circuit about how this case has been dragging on for 5 years without any meaningful hearings. And Judge Mueller, one of her favorite phrases used to be, well, at least we've kicked this can down the road another year. That's what she used to say in conferences on the telephone to schedule things. Well, at least we've kicked this can down the road another year. And so judges and courts steal your liberty every day by simply dragging it out so long you can't afford to pay for it anymore. And they economically exhaust you and they physically exhaust you because this is a tremendous amount of study and effort until finally you can't pay anymore and then you lose.
Yeah, the thing that blows my mind is when you walk into the courtroom in that courthouse, it says justice delayed is justice denied. And that's exactly what she's done in every case we've been involved with her. And to me, it's an abomination of the judicial system. And Mark, I know that that when you went in to court this last time, you seemed to get maybe some movement from the judge in that either I don't want to speculate, but either she was reprimanded in a way that she has to start complying with something. Can you kind of elaborate on that? Was there a change? Was she changing her tune? Go ahead.
We had a good day in court. I guess it was a week ago Friday. And in that, and now I don't know whether it was the reprimand she received from the Ninth Circuit or it was just finally the weight of the evidence sinking in, because quite frankly, the state has produced nothing of value in evidentiary terms. They have produced no evidence whatsoever to support their claim. They have produced no expert. They have produced no tradition, no history, no law, no regulation supporting the fact that the peaceful open carry of loaded weapons by law-abiding citizens for the purpose of self-defense was ever banned, was ever even regulated until way late in the 19th century into the 20th century. It never happened. It did happen once in Georgia, and that case was called Nunn v. Georgia, where they banned the carry of all weapons, and the Georgia Supreme Court promptly overturned that and said you can ban concealed carry, but you can't ban open carry. Now, the state has taken, because of this Nunn v. Georgia decision, where the state of Georgia reprimanded their own courts and said you can ban concealed carry, but you cannot ban open carry because that would be a ban on the Second Amendment. So here's what all of these anti-gun states have done with this. They have changed the title of carry from open carry or concealed carry to public carry. That's the new term, public carry.
Oh, boy.
And what they've said is, well, if a state can ban one kind of carry as long as they, quote, allow another kind of carry. And that's the view that California Rifle and Pistol Association has taken. They totally agree with the government. Well, you can ban one form of public carry as long as you allow another form of public carry. And the CRPA says, well, you can ban open carry. You just have to allow concealed carry. Well, that lies in the face of the text, history, and tradition of the United States for the first 200 years, for one. And for two, that logic was expressly rejected in Heller because the District of Columbia claimed in Heller, well, you can ban pistols as long as you allow rifles. And the Supreme Court rejected that in Heller and said this isn't an either-or proposition. The text of the Second Amendment means what it says it means. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the state and the Supreme Court in Heller even defined the term arms as anything, any instrument that you can wear, bear, or carry on your person, in your clothing, or in your pocket in order to be used offensively or defensively in the event of conflict with another person. So an arm literally is anything. It's not, well, we can ban rifles as long as we allow pistols, or we can ban concealed as long as we allow open. That's not what the Heller Supreme Court said. So here's how this works. If you bear on your person, that's open carry. If you bear in your pocket or inside your clothing, that's obviously concealed carry. Any instrument capable of offensive or defensive use in the event of conflict with another person. Now, how do we define the type of guns that are allowed to us under the Second Amendment? Those are any weapon that is in a common use or commonly possessed by lawful individuals for lawful purposes. Any weapon. And the only prohibitor on that is the weapon cannot be dangerous and unusual. Well, the Supreme Court, not me, also said that all weapons are dangerous. Every weapon's dangerous. Therefore, the criteria is and unusual. Well, in Sitano, the threshold was set at 200,000 units for stun guns because there were 200,000 stun guns commonly owned by lawful individuals for lawful purposes. That became the low point standard for unusual. Well, handguns, there are literally hundreds of millions of them. AR-15s, there are arguably hundreds of millions of those. There are hundreds of millions of 30-round magazines. Therefore, none of those things are dangerous and unusual. And they are protected by the Second Amendment, period, end of sentence. So in our court on Friday, the state tried to conflate this public carry. Well, you know, we can regulate the manner of public carry. Well, first of all, a regulation is not a ban. So if you regulate the manner of public carry and you ban the manner of public carry, well, banning it is hardly a regulation, is it? That's just an outright de facto, you can't do it or you go to jail. And the founders never did that. And the state admitted that. The judge, at the very end, she said to Ms. Hadid, the state's attorney, who is a liar, by the way, and had not one fact to support her case, she said, Mrs. Hadid, is there any law that you can point to that required a license for public carry in 1791? And that is the basic criteria for defense of the Second Amendment. And Mrs. Hadid said, no, Your Honor, there weren't any. End of case. We should win right there.
Yeah.
What's our likelihood of success on the merits? 100%. Okay, the other avenue the state is taking now, and these states are all copying one another. The Cornell, Rivas, and the other expert that California uses, they've been used in about 10 cases. Duncan D. Bonta, Miller, they were used in Peruta v. San Diego. They were used in the George Young case. They're the same experts with the same trash that they spew every time. And here's the state's logic now, and they just invented this during our last hearing. Well, Your Honor, we the state of California think that the laws in 1791 were far more strict and had far more penalties than California law does now. So even though we're banning an exercise of open carry, since our laws are far more lenient than they were in 1791, California's law should be ruled constitutional. Yeah, I wanted to laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I wanted to laugh out loud. But having said that, she pointed to not one single law that would typify that or illustrate that. She could not present one example of a law banning the open carry of a loaded weapon that was more stringent than California's law is today. Okay, the other thing, the other line of logic.
Now, we only have 2 minutes to the break, Mark. Do you want to go into this?
Okay. Go to the break, and then I'll just pick it up afterwards.
Okay, well, when we do, we'll just go to the break a little bit early because I don't want you to lose that thought. It's Mark Baird talking about the Second Amendment and the liberty that they've tried to take and have taken from us.
They've stalled it.
Yeah,
we're going to get it back.
We're going to get it back. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't. You'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away. You think today's your lucky day. Better think it through before it's too late. And listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Christmas lights do more than glitter and glow. They represent a gift of love given a long time ago. This holiday season, join historic Hulls Farms on a magical journey through Lights on the Farm, presented by award-winning light designers at Redding Lights. Climb aboard the Hawes Express Railways or travel by country-covered wagons through a spectacular interactive holiday light show where childhood memories and family traditions come alive. Enjoy a simple country Christmas with cocoa, candied apples, carolers, and a visit with Santa. And it's a very special gift from Greg and Nicola Hawes. Every Thursday night, children 12 and under are free with special discount pricing for seniors and veterans every Sunday. It's a Hawes family way of saying thank you and Merry Christmas. Limited tickets are available, so hurry. Reserve your tickets today at historichawesfarms.com and make a memory. Start a new tradition with your family at Historic Hawes Farms, Lights on the Farm, where they've been celebrating the holidays for over 150 years.
Harvest savings and decorate your home for the fall with unique decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage on Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features unique antique tablecloths, napkins and runners, placemats, silverware and serving trays, plates and glassware to decorate your Thanksgiving table in style. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
I'm going down to Muscle Shoals, where the swamp water rhythm flows. Live the only way I know, I'm just a common man. Headed down Texas way, where the honky-tonk heroes play. I'm gonna find that lost highway, that's where I'll make a stand. Taking the country back.
Taking the country back, I like that.
Yeah.
Taking it back.
Sally Louise.
Locally,
yep.
First, and then spread out. But start local, boys and girls.
Okay.
Okay.
Mark Barrett is on the line, and you had a thought just before we went to break. Let's have it, brother.
Well, the other line of logic that the state brought forth was the only way the state has to determine whether criminals have guns and criminals are allowed to carry guns is their permission slip and their background check. And that that gives them the opportunity to examine people to find out whether they're criminal or not, whether they should have a gun. And that is just, so many of these things, Terry, and when they hit the wall of common sense and they just bounce off onto the floor. So for example, if that were true, if it was true that the background check and the permit process would ensure that only lawful individuals have guns, and that unlawful people don't have guns, why do we still have crime? I mean, everybody that has to buy a gun, every lawful individual that buys a gun lawfully from a gun store, gets it from their uncle, whatever, they typically go through a background check according to state mandates. Even when your father gives his son a gun, they're supposed to do it through an FFL. So if that's true, if what the state says is true, why are there any criminals that still possess weapons? Wouldn't they say, well, I haven't gone through a background check, therefore I better get rid of my gun?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
These things are so ridiculous, and they don't present one shred of evidence to substantiate that. In fact, you couldn't, because you'd be laughed out of the room. It's just not true. The fact that we have a rising murder rate, a high crime rate, a high... all criminal activity in California is up double digits, it's about this year. And so they couldn't prove that because it's just plain not true. So then the judge asked the question, well, of our attorney, well, Ms. Bellantoni, don't you think that it's true that everyone should have to undergo a background check prior to gaining access to a weapon? And she said, absolutely not, Your Honor. I mean, people in California, far and away, are law-abiding people. They're innocent until proven guilty. There should be no precursor to carrying a weapon, except the fact that you're a law-abiding individual, and it's up to the state and the courts to adjudicate you differently. She said, so let me understand this. The judge always starts her sentences with so. So let me understand this. You think that all Californians are basically law-abiding. That's correct, Your Honor. That's what I think. And the presumption of innocence declares that for all the world to know. We have a presumption of innocence that's not in the Constitution, but it's one of the facts our country was founded upon.
Not according to this judge.
Well, not according to
that
anyone
judge.
From
yeah.
the government.
Yeah, I mean, the government. State. You're right. Police state. Go ahead.
But then, in addition to that, so once we talk about the presumption of innocence, and then we talk about Hadid interrupts and says, well, you know, Your Honor, this is a shall issue state. And the judge says to Amy, Miss Bellantoni, and she says, oh, no, it's not, Your Honor. And Judge Hadid said, oh, yeah, yes, it's a shall issue state. The Supreme Court said shall issue states can have all the regulations they want, basically. And our attorney said, no, it's not, Your Honor. Read Penal Code 25850 or read 26150 and 26155,
right.
And it clearly says may issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, but Attorney General Bonta has said in a letter to all law enforcement agencies that may issue is unconstitutional and they have to do this on a shall issue basis. And the judge said, well, Ms. Bellantoni, don't you believe what the Attorney General said? And my attorney said, no, I don't, Your Honor, not for one second. I don't believe anything he says. The statute is very clear. It says may issue, and may issue it is, no matter what Mr. Bonta claims to adhere to, because we can't trust him, and we don't. Therefore, we demand to vindicate the Second Amendment, so the judge says, well, what is it that you want out of this case? Well, in 5 years, she doesn't know that yet. And here is what we want. We want to strike Penal Code 25850 and 26350, the open carry of loaded or unloaded handguns. And my attorney went on to say there was no such thing as permission in 1791. There were no laws that banned the open carry of loaded weapons by peaceful individuals, either loaded or unloaded. The state's experts have provided no evidence to the contrary. Every single law the state presented as evidence for their side was against brandishing a weapon, riding about in order to terrorize people, in other words, brandishing with intent, I guess, drunken use of a weapon, killing someone, murdering someone, assaulting someone with a weapon when it was not a self-defense situation, in other words,
right.
assault, battery, attempted murder,
right.
and murder. Those things have always been against the law, and they still are, and we're not challenging that. And any of the precursors to 8 United States Code 922A through about G, and then she added, and a lot of those are going to be stricken by the Supreme Court. But we're not challenging those. If the Supreme Court strikes them, they strike them. For example, nonviolent felons are allowed to own firearms now. Nonviolent misdemeanor adjudicants are allowed to own firearms now. I mean, so even 922G has no precursor in history, at least not much. I mean, there are probably a few that I don't know of, but the broadness of 922G and certainly the broadness of California's attempts to strip people of their Second Amendment guarantees are way overreaching, and the courts will strike those down, but that's not my goal. I have a different goal in mind, and that's for someone else to do. And in the end, the state and our attorney made the point, the state's expert witnesses have not provided one single example of a ban or even a restriction on the peaceful carry of a loaded weapon by lawful individuals for the purpose of self-defense. Not one single example, not one single regulation, not one single ban, because as Bruin declares, there were none. And that's the Supreme Court talking, not my attorney talking.
Hey, Mark,
were no examples.
How does the court justify the dragging this case out when they don't have anything to prove to the contrary, and you have all the proof. How do they keep dragging this out, and how do they justify that? There's got to be proof in the pudding from their perspective, and there isn't. And from your side, there's ample. And it just doesn't seem rational, doesn't seem right, doesn't seem responsible, number one, for spending all the money that they do, the state's money, which is our money, our tax dollars paying for it. How do they justify doing this?
Well, you might be under the mistaken impression that courts are supply justice, and they don't. And in fact, one of the admonishments, and it was a fairly strict warning that the Ninth Circuit Court issued to the trial judge in the Eastern District, was this: your job is to uphold the Constitution, whether you like the Constitution or not. Your job is to compare the case the plaintiff prepares, me, against the case the defendant prepares, the state, and your job is not to help the state. It is to compare those two cases and side with the best case. The judge in the Ninth Circuit warned this trial judge on many fronts, and I have to say, in the court hearing, there was a dramatic change in attitude. I'm not going to say in action, but I will say in attitude. The judge was not near as confrontational to my attorney. She didn't get mad like she does typically in every hearing when we make a good point. She didn't side with the state. She simply was an arbiter. She asked the state several questions which the state's attorney could not answer and certainly didn't answer adequately. She asked us, we probably got more talking time than the state. And the hand of God was in that courtroom, and I am telling you this from the bottom of my heart. I felt God's presence in that courtroom directing the action. We made every point we needed to make. We made every piece of evidence that the state had look like trash, because it is. It's non-factual, idiotic trash that defies common logic and defies common sense. The state would hang the burden of liberty upon you as if you were a criminal, and you have to prove yourself otherwise before you're able to exercise the ordinary liberties that every citizen in this state has the pre-governmental, natural, unalienable right to exercise. And they would have you beg for permission and deny that permission every single opportunity that they can. And when SB 2 comes out, all of you concealed carriers that love begging permission, well, get some knee pads, because you're going to be proving good moral character. That was another issue that the state brought up. They said, 25850 is not a ban on open carry, because 26450, I believe it is, no, quote me on that number, I could be wrong on that one, has a carve-out where you may instantly produce a pistol in the event that your life is in danger and you have reasonable cause to defend yourself. And so reasonable cause, that's not an exception. That's an affirmative defense. And so my attorney very rightly said to the judge, well, Your Honor, where did the magic gun come from? Because, first of all, it's not an exception. You're going to have to prove to a jury that your cause was good enough to whip this magic gun out and shoot somebody. And you may be found guilty and go to jail for murder. So, number one, it's not an exception. It's an affirmative defense, which may or may not be rejected by the court. And number two, what you're saying is, what the state is saying, is that my clients must break the law to put this gun in their pocket or in their holster if they carry it openly, leave the house on the off chance that they have a chance to prove that they needed the gun to defend themselves. Isn't that just another a form of show just cause? And the judge was surprised, and she said, well, and she didn't really answer in the affirmative, but you could tell that that caught her. I mean, I could tell by the pregnant pause that she had no response to that, because in the end, the supposed carve-out for the magic gun, that's just another kind of show just cause, because you're going to have to show just cause as to why you broke the law to carry this pistol outside your house in order, on the off chance you might need it for self-defense. And quite frankly, no ordinary citizen can prove on any given day that they have more of a need of self-defense than anybody else does. You leave your house prepared for conflict with another person in the event that it happens, and it may happen and it probably won't. But you have the right to be prepared. You have the inalienable, God-given, free governmental right to be prepared for conflict with another human in case it should arise.
And constitutionally protected. And they seem to not follow that.
Yeah. And since the state says and the courts agree that concealed carry is not a right,
right,
all the way up to the Supreme Court, they say they'll tolerate licensing regimes as long as they're objective. California's is not. And because they tolerate licensing doesn't mean they approve that it is the constitutional guarantee the Second Amendment provides. In fact, they don't say that at all. And the judge asked us that, and we explained that point. The Bruin court never said that they favor open carry over concealed, or concealed carry over open carry. Concealed carry was simply the question before them. But they did lay out a standard, and here it is. If the conduct of the individual complies with the plain text of the Second Amendment, then that conduct is presumptively constitutional, and it falls upon the government wholly and completely, 100%, to prove with analogous laws that date back to 1791 that show widely held, widely supported regulations that would ban the conduct that the plaintiff desires to proceed with, and that would change the unqualified command of the Second Amendment, which is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The state has failed utterly to do that because no one can do it. No such thing existed. And therefore, the right of the people to openly bear loaded handguns for self-defense should be the law of the land in California, and it will be. And my attorney also pointed out to Judge Mueller that there are only two states in the Ninth Circuit that don't have open carry now, and that's California and Hawaii. So this isn't a, you know, the state claims, well, this is a broad and overreaching thing, and if you decide in favor of the plaintiffs, the world will collapse. And my attorney countered that and said there are only two states out of the 11 states in the Ninth Circuit that don't have already have open carry. This isn't a broad overreaching decision. It affects two outlier states that hate the Constitution and hate the Second Amendment and hate the fact that you might have liberty.
Well, Mark, with that, since the higher court slapped it back down to the lower court, you know, with Mueller, did they give her a timeline or did they imply a timeline as to her acting on this? Is there a date or a forecasted date of any kind when the decision should be rolled out?
Well, they cited three cases, and this goes back to Terry's question, you know, how can you make it, why can the judge be allowed to do these things and not have a timeline, and how quick can this happen, and how can you make a judge do their job and support liberty in the Constitution? And the answer to that is you can't, and they don't. The Ninth Circuit gave the judge three cases to guide her. One had a three-day time limit on it for denial of constitutional rights. The other one had a 30-day denial, and the other one had a 60-day. So Judge Mueller, being Judge Mueller, would obviously go for the 60-day one. At 30 days, we wrote a letter to the Ninth Circuit telling them that she had yet to act on the preliminary injunction. And you know what happened then?
Nothing.
The Ninth Circuit en banc coordinator asked for a brief stating why this case should not be sent directly to an en banc panel of the Ninth Circuit without going any further in any other court, which was an implied threat because the en banc circuit is so anti-Second Amendment, it's ridiculous. And both the state in their brief objected to it, and we did as well, because what would they be deciding on? Nothing's been decided yet. I mean, if we had been denied justice in Judge Mueller's court, then yeah, there's something for them to adjudicate. But we literally in 5 years have not had one single decision except out of the Ninth Circuit ordering the judge to follow the law. And even that she hasn't done. So for this case to be taken straight to the en banc panel, like Duncan v. Bonta, the 30-round magazine case is about to have happen to it, that is just a way for the state to grab the case and say no to it, because the en banc panel works for the state of California. They don't work for us. They don't uphold the law. They don't uphold the Constitution. Quite frankly, I think the Ninth Circuit should be defunded and busted up because they're so corrupt in their practice of denying constitutional guarantees. It absolutely defies description. But anyway, that's another story.
Well, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's just like they just voted on a bigger building for the FBI. And unfortunately, our congressman voted for that.
The Democrats on it. You? Did that surprise you?
It does surprise me a bit. I mean, it's the second time in a row we've had two votes where Doug LaMalfa has gone to the other side. I would expect at least some kind of position where he'd, you know, at least give some kind of reason why he would do that. I haven't heard anything other than the fact that I did hear on another radio station on a program on Saturday these two votes to where he voted along with the Democrats, and that's what they said. And I was a little bit surprised. I was surprised also when he voted against Jim Jordan, but that was a position that he took because his comment was that he believed that McCarthy got a bad deal. Well, okay, so you vote against the next guy coming in because the guy you like had a bad deal? I mean, and the FBI building getting bigger, right? If you need to defund anything, I think it's the FBI.
Well, we can have a whole show about that.
We can.
I think there are several departments of the government that need to be defunded. But getting back to the 2A case, you cannot make a federal judge do their job. There is no mechanism to make them do their job in a timely manner. And as much as Judge Mueller has whined and cried about how she has to follow the Ninth Circuit, not the Supreme Court, well, the Ninth Circuit ordered her to do some things, and she's not doing that either. So obviously she's not bound by the Ninth Circuit. She's not bound by the United States Supreme Court. In fact, she's not bound by anybody, and she serves a term of life. And that's our failing as people not to have some kind of way, mechanism, to get rid of a bad judge. And we have failed to do that. And quite frankly, whoever you vote for president, and I say it's President Trump, because he had the best records in the court of any president we've had in a very, 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 very long time. And let me tell you, the president doesn't so much decide your life as the courts do. Yes, presidents can make a horrible muck of things. Look at Creepy Joe. I mean, he's ruined the economy, and governors can do horrible things.
Oh,
look at Grusom. He's ruined the economy. He's ruined our lives. He's made it almost unrecoverable. But let me tell you, the courts are the final arbiters of this stuff. So when you vote, remember that who you vote for is going to be appointing judges. And Donald Trump, far and away, had the best record for appointing judges. Were they all perfect? No. But they were all pretty darn good. And pretty much to a man and woman of them, they have displayed a tendency to support liberty in the Constitution. So my vote is going to be cast solely on who will appoint the best judges, and that's by far Donald Trump.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think we're all, I know Wynn and I are both Trump guys, and I agree with that. I think that the judges now at this particular point have gotten out of control, and as we've both seen, in court, you and I have both seen this, and that is that we'll have judges say that the Constitution means what I say it means in my courtroom.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Or the Constitution doesn't apply here, or I'll decide what the Constitution says and what it doesn't say. And then, quite frankly, in court, you get to the point where judges and lawyers are supposed to decide what the Constitution says. That's part of their job. So, but they always call in these outside experts to tell them what the Constitution says what it means. This Rivas character and Cornell are two of the worst judges of history. I mean, they ignore the history of the founding, and they scoop out these little tiny town ordinances in some hick town in Iowa that in 1866 banned the assembly of 12 or more people to carrying clubs in order to riot, And then the state uses that as an example of how they can ban the open carry of a loaded weapon.
Unbelievable.
Because a town in Ohio banned 12 or more people gathered together carrying clubs in order to riot, with the intent to riot. Therefore, the state of California can ban the open carry of a loaded handgun by a lawful person for lawful purposes. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they pull. And that's all they got, Terry. That's the best they have. Or they pointed out some laws where, well, we could prevent black slaves from carrying a weapon openly unless they had a license from their master.
Yeah.
The state of California used that law. Well, that was rejected in Heller, rejected in Bruin, and rejected in McDonald, that very law from Saul Cornell, as being absolutely racist and repugnant to the Constitution and could not be used to support litigation. But yet the state of California raised that law as analogous to the ban on the open carry of loaded weapons by lawful individuals for lawful purposes.
Unbelievable.
That's what a clown car circus this whole thing is. But unfortunately, this deal is hundreds of thousands of dollars in the making. And I got to tell you, a week ago Friday was probably a $30,000 day for me.
Oh, geez.
And I only have 20.
Well, would you like to...
We can announce that.
If you want to help Mark Baird with this case, Wynn's going to give you that right now. Here you go, Wynn.
Yeah, send your contribution or donation and make it to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo portion of your check, put 2A. So it goes to that account, and you can mail it to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy, and that's Redding, California, 96003.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes or so, Mark. You want to bring us home on this? About 4 minutes. Go ahead, buddy.
I do. We have a constitution. Everybody knows that. The Constitution was amended in 1791 to include a Bill of Rights because the anti-federalists were afraid of exactly what's happening today. The federalists said, oh, we don't need a Bill of Rights. No government will take rights away from the people. The anti-federalists said that's not good enough. And so in 1791, the Constitution was amended for the first time with 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. And the second of those amendments is the security, I'm having a brain fog right now. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the Second Amendment. We know what it says. It's written in plain English. It's very plain. It's easily understandable. There's no confusion. There was never any confusion in the first 200 years of this country exactly what that meant. There were only greedy, powerful politicians who wanted to disarm the people in order that they could exercise more power and gain more control over you. California is the worst of them, one of the worst. New York, New Jersey, California, Hawaii, lump them in with the same thing. But they want absolute control of your life. They want to be able to ban you from going to church, but you can go to a titty bar if a disease breaks out. You can't sell a bolt at a hardware store, but you can go to Walmart and buy the same bolt. I mean, we have an idiot for a governor who's out making deals.
A criminal for a governor.
Communist Chinese. We have a criminal idiot for a governor, whatever you want to call him. He would take away your rights. He calls the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, an enumerated right to the people of this nation, a God-given, unalienable right. He calls it a suicide pact. That's what we're dealing with here. You can stand with me or you will fall. And I guarantee you, this state is headed for tyranny. It's on a downhill slide. The ship is sinking with all hands on board. And you can either stand for liberty or you can go down with the ship. I know for myself, I will stand with liberty every time. And by the way, while we're talking about liberty, there is only one way to guarantee it, and that's get away from those idiots in Lower California and form our own state. We have no hope in the end unless we can restore adequate representation that adheres to the will of the people, and that's with our own state. But in the meantime, we need the inalienable rights to be guaranteed by the Constitution. I am sorry to ask you, but I need money, folks. I need money or this case will go away because I can't afford to pay, and we're winning. And we can win, and we will win, if I can afford to pay. So please help with this, or else when you look in the mirror and your liberty's all gone, you'll have nobody but yourself to blame.
We just had somebody come in the studio bringing a check for you.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that something?
Anyway, my good friend, we're going to probably have to leave it there. We have to, because of rules and regulations, we've got to
close the show down and let somebody else do it.
Say aloha to you, my good friend. Anyway, thank you, Mark, for all you're doing.
Amen.
And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.